But as we mentioned, MLS's back was ongoing down in Orlando, and they've been playing the regular season now for quite some time. And in Toronto, TFC, they can't play at home. They haven't been playing at home. They've been down in Hartford, and they got a big game tomorrow against Philadelphia, and they are currently leading MLS when it comes to the standings. And to chat about that, we're now joined by their head coach, Greg Vanney. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. Thank you.
I hope you're doing well. You must be a happy man. The supporter shield is coming out. You got your wish.
You ask, and you shall. That is a lot of pull, Greg, in the league offices. You come out spitting fire. You don't like it. And the reverse course, also, they're giving it out to you.
Yeah, I don't think it was just me, but we were fairly vocal. I think, you know, my words were not just about Toronto FC. It's about every team that's, you know, every player that starts a season is looking to win a championship and lift a trophy at the end of it. You know, there's only a few weeks left for the trophy to then kind of get pulled away from you. And that, when you being those players, is just not, I don't think it's the right action. So really our team was in the lead and we're battling for it. We got four games left to try to lock it down, but really it's just about the bigger issue of that's what professional sports are about. You're trying to win the trophies along the way and create legacy for yourself, for your team, for your club, for your city, your fans, everybody. And so I think they did the right thing. I applaud them for being open-minded about, you know, listening to the feedback and the sentiment that was going on around the league and to being open-minded enough to reversing course and putting it back out there for teams to battle for here down the stretch.
Well, we heard your comments about it, speaking with Christian Jack, and they were very pointed, and we discussed it a lot on the show, and we totally agreed with you. But were your players indicating the same passion? Were they disappointed by the idea that the shield would not be available if and when TFC holds on to this lead and wins the regular season?
Yeah, the players were pissed. You know, our guys, obviously, more than most of the teams in the league, barring the other two Canadian teams, have had to change their entire life this year in terms of where they're living, seeing their families. Obviously, you guys know that. You've just explained that we're down in Hartford and living away from our families and all that kind of stuff. So for our guys to be engaged and locked in and to be singularly focused on each one of these games to get results, we've played three games at home the whole season. You know, that's what they do it for. And so they were pissed. To be honest with you, before I made the comments, we hadn't talked as a team. I had heard, from some of the staff around the team that the players were pissed. So I just put my own words into sort of what I had understood to be their emotions. And then a lot of them were appreciative of the things that I had said and the forcefulness, I guess, at which I had said some of those things. So, we were behind each other. We supported each other through those comments. And, you know, when we went out to play the other night, after we heard our mission was to make sure that we get put ourselves into position to be talking about the supporter shield and not just to be, you know, whining about it as the third or fourth place team or something, but to try to actually be in position to win it. So,
Greg, you mentioned some of the challenges that your team has faced this year, kind of unique to the Canadian clubs not being in Toronto. Yeah. How has that been different for you as a coach? I know you have professionals, they're going to play hard and they're going to get along and do the best they can. But as a coach, have you had to do things differently given your unique situation of not playing really home games?
Yeah, I mean, we try to approach from a mentality perspective, sometimes a tactical perspective. We try to approach every game as if we're the home team. We're going to win the game. We're trying to get 3 points. So we haven't had to change a lot in terms of our approach to the games. What's different is that we're together all the time. And so trying to keep things fresh, the mentality of the group in the right place, you know, doing things, sometimes recognizing when things are getting heavy and we need to lighten it up a little bit, just, you know, to keep sanity within the group, things like that. That's a little bit different because there really isn't much escape. Like we're in it all the time. And so for me, I don't mind. That's how I live when I'm at home. I'm in it all the time. And, you know, I'm either at the facility and working with the young kids or the academy coaches I'm always in it. I don't mind. But a lot of our guys, they need the separation. They need the mental break. And we're trying within our staff and with the players and everybody, what we're doing is just trying to keep sanity within the group and give guys the wherewithal to stick with this for the long haul, because we're still hopefully probably only about halfway through if we can run this thing all the way to the end. So that's been the challenge. But our guys have been great. You know, part of the benefit of it, if anything, is that guys are, when they're not on the field or training or playing a game, is they're in recovery mode. They don't have anything else to do. They're not taking the family out somewhere or the dogs for a walk or all over the place. Like, they're really just in recovery mode. So it cuts both ways, but our guys have been really professional about their approach and have been focused this whole time.
Well, you got a big one tomorrow night taking on Philly. They're chasing you. You got a 3-point spread on them, only 4 games left in the sked. Yeah. You know, obviously a big game, that goes without saying, but how much of this is, you know, continuing to fight for that top spot in the regular season, but also preparing for the playoff run that you just referenced, and how big of a tune-up game might this be tomorrow against Philly?
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, we are focused to try to win the supporter shield. I mean, we're in the position and we're 4 games away. It's a big trophy. We all believe it. If you're a traditionalist in soccer, it's a big, big trophy to show that you've been able to been the team that could sustain over the long haul. That's a big deal. So for us, that's one of the things that we're for sure front and center on our mind. The second part of that is the way that these games have been lined up for us to get as many games we have is we've just played games back to back to back. You know, last week, 5 games in 16 days, which is a brutal stretch for players, is we're trying to get guys healthy. We're trying not to expose guys that might have little things that we're trying to heal. So we're trying to win this supporter shield. At the same time, we're trying to get our team back as whole as possible for the playoffs so that we can try to make a run at the cup. So there's a couple of different things going on, but we're trying to manage all of that. And in every game, we're trying to put the team on the field that we feel can get us a result, given, you know, the health and the well-being of the guys and where they're at. So that's been a challenge, but everybody has stepped up. You know, when we've asked for a different guy to step into a role, they've done that so far, and they've done it well. So we're going to have to keep doing that here down the stretch, and hopefully we can start to get guys back between, you know, some tomorrow, some midweek, and hopefully we can start to build the group back together.
With Greg Vanney, again, TFC, currently leading their division, leading the league in terms of MLS, and they take on Philadelphia tomorrow. The club has had a recent history of attracting players from overseas. It began with Jermaine Defoe, who had a pretty good start here but kind of fizzled out, wanted to go back to Europe, went back to Europe. We know the history of Jovinko. He was lights out with TFC. Yep. But Pozuelo has been kind of a different beast, different style of player, but his numbers have been off the charts, and he continues to produce at a very high level. You know, what is it about his game that has worked so well, his transition to MLS, and him just continuing to be a force, what seems like game in, game out for you guys?
Yeah, he's you know, I think the guys that come to MLS and have the most success are very good players, which, you know, there's a lot of guys who come to MLS, they're very good players. Some do great, some not so great. But I think he came for all the right reasons. He's willing to work hard. He's a humble guy that wants to work within the team, but then his qualities can shine in moments within the team, but also moments that he can create for himself. And so he's got that kind of old school playmaker ability that in some places has disappeared from the game, but he still has it. And in our league, he's very clever. And like I said, very deceptive about some of the things that he does that and how he scores goals. He does some things that I probably couldn't even explain to you, that goalkeepers have such a difficult time trying to figure out what's going to happen. And the next thing you know, the ball's behind him. And so he's got this unique talent about the way he goes about things. But the most important thing is his humility, his hard work, and his willingness to be a part of a team. And then within that team, he does great things. And so, those are key attributes to him. And, you know, we love him being here, and he makes our team better. And obviously he's fun to watch. So,
Greg, in that locker room, that sounds exactly like the kind of guy that other guys want to play with, because he's such a good facilitator, Fish himself, but also such a great facilitator. Everyone kind of gets better being around him. Does he have that kind of universal respect where the guys acknowledge, like, you know, not only does he look good himself, but he's helping us all look, you know, maybe better than we actually are?
Yeah, I think that's that's one of the things that guys love about him. And I think that's a unique quality about players when they come to this league is if they can make, obviously MLS isn't the greatest league in the world yet. We're working towards that. We're trying to get there. But the guys who come with supreme talent and can help players around them to be better players, to be more effective, more efficient, but also play those guys into their strengths and recognize those other players on the field for what they're really good at too. They become, like you said, they become facilitators. They're not just great players themselves. They become facilitators for others to be great. And that's what helps the team to be great. And I think that's what MLS is all about, is if you can maximize the strengths of your players, because all players have weaknesses in MLS and all players have strengths. And if you can maximize those strengths and you have players on the field who respect each other's strengths and can play to those, then you can have a really good team and a team that can do good things and for a long time, which is kind of the space we've been at. And Ollie is that guy for us. And I think that's even been his transition from last year to this year. I think last year he came and he felt like he needed to do a little more because he had that DP status, which you don't have anywhere else in the world until you come to MLS. And so there was a feeling sometimes he had to do more. And now I think he has developed I can get the most out of these guys around me as well, and I can play to that. And in the end, that's going to help him as well. So he's really learned more about our team, the league, over the course of the last year, and I think that's really helped him to take off to another level even this year from where he was last year, which was quite good.
Toronto FC, Philadelphia Union, tomorrow kickoff at 7:30. It's going to be a fun one. You're almost at the finish line, and then obviously, yeah, like you said, the real dance kicks off with the playoffs right around the corner. So best of luck down the stretch. Best of luck tomorrow.
Thank you, guys.
I'm sure we'll catch up again soon. Thank you for doing this, Greg.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
There he is, Greg Vanney, TFC head coach.
You know what I wonder, Hayes, is that so all around the world in soccer, football, the number one thing you try to win is like the regular season, the league. And it's only in North America where, what matters most is the playoffs, because they don't even have playoffs in the leagues. They have, the FA Cups and the Champions League and everything else. They don't have domestic playoffs like they have in MLS. And I wonder what the mindset is for, he's going on record saying they really want the regular season championship. But I wonder, like, trying to talk to the guys who are not from North America and trying to balance how important do we approach winning the regular season versus how important do we approach what is more important in North America, which is, the actual playoffs.
And right.
So it's a weird dynamic there, especially when the team is international.
Well, exactly. I mean, you look back a couple of years ago when they had that monster year and they won MLS Cup.
Yeah.
The regular season, they like ran away with it, I believe. Like, historically strong mm-hmm. regular season, yet it doesn't really resonate so much here. When you think right. of TFC and their success and the ultimate success, and you think of when Tim Leiwicki was even hired, and it was, we're finally going to get this thing going. Because remember how ugly it was. Like, we lose sight yeah. of that. TFC now is just a juggernaut year in, year out. They're in contention. They've been yeah. to three MLS Cups in the last, 4 years or whatever it is. But prior, like, there was a 6-year run where they were a absolute joke, like a laughingstock, and could not get it going. But when Leiwicki got here, it wasn't, we want to win the supporters shield. Like, I don't remember him ever saying that. It was, we're going to win MLS Cup.
I never heard of supporters shield when Leiwicki
yeah.
was here, right?
No,
right, never
exactly.
heard of that thing was.
It wasn't anything right. anyone cared about, and it was more about the playoffs. And I'm sure that's an adjustment for players, for international players, who are like, wait a minute, what are we, like, it's a playoff,
what?
And Cup? It's a bracket. And yeah. But, that's the way it works over here in North. I think it's the smart play for MLS. You've got to adapt to your surroundings. And in North America, we are the playoff continent. That's what we do. That's what we love. Yeah. And that's where the magic happens.
Well, he's a fiery coach.
That's what it is, right?
Because
that's where upsets yeah. can happen. And Cinderella's, if it's just the best team wins the regular season,
you get a Leicester City like once every 50 years or something like that.
Right.
But more or less, like EPL, which is what I would follow the closest, and I don't follow it day in, day out, but it's generally, United, City, Liverpool, Tottenham, Chelsea, maybe Everton sneaks in, maybe Tottenham, although I think I already said them.
Arsenal, like an occasion.
Yeah, Arsenal, exactly. There's 6 or 7 teams tops that might get in there. And then beyond that, you're just hoping you don't get relegated.
Yeah,
it's been a tough run. I mean, talking to Andy Petrillo, at least, like, So she's married to the goalie coach or whatever
John.
It is. Like,
yeah,
they've been able to come back to Canada for like 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. And they have to quarantine. Nice part is they don't ever practice when they're in Canada because they have to stay in their houses. But then they just come back to like hang out at home for a couple of days and then shoot back down to the States. It's been a really grind
really
for
bizarre
them.
Like yeah. month and a half. But my understanding is that, and this is another thing that I think we have to consider with where this is going with our borders and the idea of opening up, is technology has advanced a lot where these guys have like selective apps. That's not like a COVID app. It's basically you're being tracked. Right, like that's what's happening in the NFL. These guys are being tracked.
Yeah, and the one guy sidestepped the tracker, right?
Yes, and Trent Brown, and he tested positive, and now they're like, we know that you were, you know, messing yeah. around or
gave
doing
it
whatever.
The slip.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that is going to apply here with crossing the border. Not so much. I could see rapid testing. Now I'm really getting crazy here, but I could see rapid testing with their own teams: Raptors, Blue Jays, 7 Canadian hockey teams. Rapid right. testing when you land. You're negative, go ahead, live free, but, you know, be reasonable and don't be silly. Yeah. But for the Yankees rolling through town, okay, rapid test, but then also this app, you're not leaving the hotel, basically. Right. You're playing right. your games and you can go, which I thought was a reasonable option 4 months ago when the decision was being made on whether or not the Jays could play at home. But I could see technology factoring as well in terms of teams coming up, a one-off. You know, maybe maybe a team comes up and you play the Raptors twice.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's what happened. The Knicks come up and you play the Raptors Friday right. and Saturday.
Get the two games in.
Yeah, and then you One head trip. Home right after the game Saturday and you don't come back up.
And it's like house arrest. You got an ankle bracelet.
Yeah.
You're being
yeah.
tracked.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's going to make skipping a curfew on the road that much harder. Coaching
I don't
you
know
there, tracking them. Noodles, I saw that you were wherever
at Real Sports. You're on college. But that's the thing. Like nowadays, NHL teams have those sleep, the sleep trackers and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you go on the road, the strength and conditioning guys are tracking, you know, guys' rest. And I know of a few guys that would give their watch or their tracker to somebody who was staying in and then go out type of thing. So the guy's wearing,
happen.
Like, he's got like eight.
Play.
Eight watches or monitors on his arm as he goes to bed and everyone else is out.
It's the one guy who's staying in. He's just right. got arms yeah. and arms 25
arms
watches
legs.
Just layered on his
and
arms.
Everyone on the team has the exact same sleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Same heartbeat.
Sleep patterns.
Same blood type. Same
right,
social insurance number. Everything. So